I'd like to call to order today's meeting. The Joint Conference Committee on Public Safety, May 21, 2005. And the meeting will come to order. I think at this time, I would like to ask Senator Randall if she has anything to say, and then we will turn to our legal counsel from both the House and the Senate to address and walk through the articles of the respective bills and see if we have an agreement, which I believe we have, so we can ratify as a conference committee. And once we get through with the policy issues, then we will have spreadsheets available and review those as well.
Well, Mr. Chair, all I'd like to say is I think that as our respective councils go through, I think we're going to have a product to recommend to the public that is one that really looks out for the public safety of all our communities. And the work of the conferees on the House and the Senate side has really been excellent. And thanks to our good staff. So if we hopefully we can go through, and Mr. Chair, at the end, we will have an agreement.
Senator, thank you. I also believe that it was a balanced approach, that we looked at both language that's been worked on for months by members from both the Senate and the House, and I hope and I trust that we took the best language from each body so that we do have a balanced approach to addressing the public safety of the citizens of this state. Now, I don't know which one is going to start, but Mr. Baucus, why don't you just take us from the top?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'll begin with the first policy article and Article 2, which is sex offender sentencing provisions. And just so members are aware, I'm going to focus simply on what's in the bill as opposed to what's not in the bill. To begin with, then, the first concept is the life without release sentence for the egregious sex offenders. The House and Senate have agreed that it would apply to first-time offenders, first and second-degree crim sex offenses with the underlying force or violence provisions if there are two or more heinous elements present. In addition, there is going to be a life without release sentence for first and second degree crim sex offenders with the underlying force or violence, that same class of individuals, if it's a repeat offense and if there's one heinous element. So there's two life without release sentences in the bill. Then there are going to be the Senate provisions on the indeterminate life sentences. Those would apply to first degree crim sex offenders, again with the underlying force or violence, first and second degree, with one heinous element. And then the Senate's provisions on repeat sex offenders as originally defined. As far as the heinous elements are concerned, the House and Senate would take the common heinous elements. If I remember correctly, there were five of them. And we would accept the Senate's mutilation and the Senate's extreme inhumane condition heinous elements. And then the House's heinous element regarding moving a victim from one place to another and not leaving the victim in a safe place. The minimum terms of imprisonment for the indeterminate life sentences would be the guidelines presumptive sentence or the mandatory minimum sentence, whatever would be applicable to the offense. The release authority would be the Commissioner of Corrections, and it would essentially be the Senate release criteria. In addition, the bill would require the Sentencing Guidelines Commission to propose modifications to the guidelines, including a separate sex offense grid. Now, those changes will go into effect August 1, 2006, unless the legislature, via enacting a new law, agrees to veto those changes. The House and Senate have agreed to accept the new crime of criminal sexual predatory conduct, and it would be the Senate statutory maximum sentence. This next issue is not related to sex offenses, but this is where it appeared in the Senate bill. Regarding first-degree murder, the House and Senate have agreed to a life without release sentence for premeditated first-degree murder offenses, not all first-degree murders. As far as Article 3 is concerned, again, as I mentioned, given it would be the Commissioner of Corrections being the release authority, essentially most of that article would be the Senate position, which there are a number of studies included there. We would not take the House Policy Board on Sex Offenders or the Review Board. And, Mr. Chair, with that, I think I'll turn it over to Mr. Diebel.
Mr. Diebel.
Mr. Chair and members, the what is currently Article 4 in the House proposal is will be expanded to include all of the remaining non-sentencing changes for sex offenders other than those that are technical, which there will be a separate article for those. And this article will contain the predatory offender provisions regarding homeless offenders, as well as those that move to this state or are released from federal prisons. The language is very similar in both bills, but in most cases it was probably the House position that was adopted with regard to out-of-state offenders and homeless offenders. There is level 3 supervision for, or level 3 sex offenders will be subject to intensive supervised release for the entire period of their release term. There are the provisions regarding notification of the health care facilities. There are provisions regarding co-payment collection for treatment of sex offenders in this provision, as well as Senate Counsel mentioned the policy studies and that DOC will be doing will be housed in the new article containing this. There won't be license plates for sex offenders or IDs, special IDs. Those were dropped. Make sure I hit all the highlights.
Senator Copeland.
Sure. How do you want to do it? How would you like to handle questions? Do you want questions as we go through, or
Senator, let's try. Let's do it this way. Ask them right away as they come up, and if it gets out of control, we'll hold them until at least after each article. So let's go right now, Senator Copeland.
Sure. I have a question on the healthcare facilities. The question is the language, and I need to be referred to the right page on healthcare facilities. I think that as the bill was drafted, we inadvertently included hospitals. Is there a correction on the hospital?
Mr. Diebel.
Mr. Chair and members, the correction was implemented pursuant to your request, and so it was the Senate position with the clarification on the facilities. So that is addressed in the proposal. Another issue that will be in this.
Excuse me, Senator Ram, do you want to amplify or add to any of that exchange, just giving you the opportunity?
No, Mr. Chair. I had had that discussion with Senator. He had raised the issue with me, and I wanted to make sure he understood that was taken care of.
Very good. Thank you. Mr. Diebel.
And I have another question on Article 3 of the Senate, which matches with Article 4 of the House. I don't know if now is the time, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead. Senator Scobin.
Okay. And you may be getting this, Mr. Diebel, the 10-year conditional release on level 3 sex offenders who are convicted of failing to register. Is that put in the bill?
Mr. Diebel.
Mr. Chair, Senator Scoglin and members, yes, that's in the bill.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Diebel, go ahead.
The polygraph provisions offered by the Senate were adopted. The photograph requirement for offenders every six, level 3 offenders every 6 months was adopted. The civil commitment determination on behalf of the Department of Corrections, the compromise position is that the commissioner will be asked to consult outside counsel, and that language will be provided that that could be a retired judge if they so choose to retain that person, but it would be someone knowledgeable in the area of civil commitment that could give them an independent assessment of the person's need for civil commitment. I believe, Mr. Chair, that hits the highlights on Article 4. The committee has also adopted Article 5, which is Human Services Access to Predatory Offender Registry, with a substitution for Section 6. The Senate language, which was moving in a different bill, was substituted for the House version. And otherwise, there it'll be the House position. The same is the case with Article 6 regarding human services background studies. It will be the House position.
Wait a minute. Senator Ranum.
There is a clarification on that. Senator Lori, if you'll recall, has been working with on this issue. The Senate did not have a position on this. Senator Lori has held hearings and has been working on this and has been working with Eric Lippmann, and my understanding that is being drafted.
And I apologize, Mr. Beeble. I had that conversation just before we started. I wasn't able to alert you. So go ahead.
Mr. Chair and members, I'll push it back to Senate Council to discuss the technical article on sex offenders.
Mr. Backus.
Mr. Chair and members, Article 7 began as a technical article and also with a number of miscellaneous changes. As Mr. Diebel mentioned, it's going to become now simply a technical article. The House and Senate took the technical changes that were necessary to effectuate the substantive changes in the bill. I don't think any of those are controversial. Mr. Diebel already mentioned the copay issue where the Senate accepted the House language. Just to clarify, the Senate provisions on the legislative auditor's recommendations have been adopted, and the House position on the seizure/forfeiture/return of computers with contraband on it has also been adopted.
Mr. Diebel.
Mr. Chair and members, so moving to Article 8, which is the public safety policy, the Conference Committee has adopted the House position on youth intervention programs that will be transferred to public safety along with the policy reforms that are contained in both bills. The House has also, or the Conference Committee, excuse me, has adopted the provisions relating to excavation appeals and the checking of background of those that seek name changes. It'll be the House position. Also, two agency bills on juvenile data for background checks and DPS adding data to files for background checks. Representative Solberg's bill on escorts for funerals and wide trailers has been adopted. The provision regarding preventing employer retaliation for those that seek to support their family members who are victims of crime, we'll accept the Senate position on that, which is moving, I believe, in a different bill. The agency provision on the definition of victim for reparations purposes has been adopted, as well as the Senate language on the procedures for notifying victims of offenders who have HIV. Just give me 1 minute to find my sheet here. Mr. Chair and members, I think the... do you have a copy? Continuing with Article 8, the issue regarding reparations for victims injured outside of the country was adopted. The special revenue fund, which was identical, transferring that to the general fund, was adopted. The Senate fees on alcohol were adopted. And that would be the content of what will be the public safety policy article. Article 9 is the fire marshal. Basically, it's the House position, which is very comparable to the language that's moving separately in the Senate. There won't be provision regarding elite mountain tents, and then there are a few other technical provisions that are slightly different in that language. Article 10 is in emergency communications. The agreement is to be a 25-cent increase on 911 fees, which will carry forward in both years, and then the bonding funding will be available for the St. Cloud and Rochester areas to build out the 800 megahertz system, with the language to yet to be to be drafted. It's up being drafted right now. Article 11 will be covered by Senate Counsel.
Mr. Backus.
Mr. Chair, members, Article 11 are the law enforcement policy provisions. We would take the House position regarding the bulletproof vest reimbursements. We would take the House position on the gang strike force and narcotics task force merger with reporting language that was in the Senate bill, just to preserve the reports that they're currently doing. As far as the Minnesota Financial Crimes Task Force, it would be a combination of House and Senate, mostly Senate on technical. Well, basically a mixture, but the funding source would be general funds. On the human services, I'm sorry, the human trafficking studies, it would be the House position. However, it would be slightly scaled back studies because of the funding. There would be no analysis of collected data or plan, and there would be no assistance of victims. It would be the House position on the DPS agency initiatives, fingerprints, physical mark identification system access, and other issues. The Senate position regarding the criminal and juvenile justice information policy group membership. There would be a compromise on the task force membership. We would add new individual, one new individual appointed by the League of Cities and one new individual appointed by the Minnesota Association of Counties. The House position on the other TrimNet changes, and then the House position on law enforcement maintenance of electronic records.
Mr. Diebel.
Mr. Chair, members, Article 12, DNA collection, there has been a compromise reached on that article. Both the House and Senate have approved removal of the sunset on collection of DNA from non-predatory felon, those who are convicted of non-predatory felonies, and also the adoption of the preservation of evidence provision. But the compromise comes in on the DNA will be collected from predatory felon arrestees, but only after they've had a probable cause hearing and the judge has found that there's probable cause to charge the person for the predatory felony. At that point, the law enforcement can collect the DNA sample from the offender. Mr. Chair, Senate Counsel will cover Article 13.
Mr. Backus.
Mr. Chair, members, Article 13 of the Department of Correction provisions, we would take the House position on the inmate cleanup crews with some technical changes, the House position on the correctional officer discipline procedures, the House position on the interstate compact changes, the House position on gate money. There would be some Senate compromise language on the Department of Corrections conditional release of nonviolent drug offenders. There would be a two-year sunset imposed on that release authority, and there would be an evaluation of the results of the program. We would take the House position on local correctional fees, the House position on the DOC Fugitive Apprehension Unit with one minor Senate change, the House position on electronic monitoring of work release inmates. However, we would broaden the definition of the type of offense that disqualifies an inmate for this. The House position on the threshold dollar amount for the DOC advice, et cetera, on the local jail repair issue. And then the Senate position on MCF Faribault dedication of space.
Mr. Chair, members, I'll go over Article 14. This is on courts and public defenders. We are authorizing the appointment of four new judges. We're taking the Senate position on the civil commitment hearings, the Senate position on the civil filing fee.
Mr. Chair.
Excuse me.
Senator Scobin.
I'd like to ask where the judges are. If you could be specific about that, please.
There are two in the 7th Judicial District and two in the 10th Judicial District.
Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Ms. Pierce, please go ahead.
We took the, Mr. Chair, members, the committee took the Senate position on the civil filing fee increase. We also took the criminal and traffic surcharge that will go up to $72, and the parking violation will go up to $4. The Senate position was taken on the county recorder fees. The House position was taken for the post-conviction language. The House position was taken for the sentencing worksheet provision. There was a compromise on the CHIPS representation provisions. Kids age 10 and over will get a guardian ad litem, and they will have priority on getting a GAL who is a lawyer. The public defender will represent parents in CHIPS, and the public defender will not represent non-custodial parents in the initial phase of the CHIPS proceedings, but they will if it involves a permanent placement determination. They're also putting together a working group to make a recommendation on CHIPS petitions. They're taking the house position on the public defender surplus property provision, the house position on the property seizure provision, the Senate position on the collateral sanction chapter, the House provision on the Ramsey County Commissioner, and the House provision on the repealer of the prohibition of service of legal process on the Sabbath. Moving on to Article 15, this is the Child Protection Statute. It relates to, the Child Protection Bill relating to adoption consent. All of Article 15 House language was adopted. Article 16 deals with criminal sentencing policy and deals with the Blakely issue. The guidelines were expanded 15% below and 20% above the presumptive fixed sentence. The House procedures were adopted with the recommended sunset of 18 months. They'll apply to sentencing hearings and resentencing hearings. And the Senate changes on the substantive provisions were adopted, which provides that the fact finder will make determinations relating to factors involving sentencing. Moving on to Article 17, this is the general criminal provisions. I'm just going to go over what is included. We adopted the House provision on anabolic steroids. Both gas theft provisions were put in, the criminal and the civil. The animal fighting provision was put in. The Senate position on expanding fourth degree assault to apply to secure treatment personnel was put in. The Senate provision expanding the definition of a domestic abuse no contact order. The Murder 1 provision involving child abuse was placed in. Those were identical. There was a compromise on the assault by strangulation language. It will apply only to family and household members, and it will be a felony with 3 years imprisonment and a maximum $5,000 fine. The gang provision was the Senate position on a crime committed against a child by a gang member was put in. The Senate human trafficking criminal provisions are in. The House provision relating to escape of a sexually dangerous person while on pass status. We have the House provision on fleeing by foot. The Senate provision was put in relating to obstructing ambulance and fire crews. The House language for the crimes of faulty reporting a crime to a peace officer was put in, as well as reporting police misconduct. Those were slightly modified. All the identity theft provisions were put in. A provision authorizing forfeiture of computers used to commit a designated offense was put in. The house trespass provision was taken. It was amended so that this would also apply to school rooftops. The Senate position on vagrancy was taken. The House position on gambling fraud. The Senate provision on peeping Tom penalties. There was an enhancement on that. And the provisions on restraining orders and harassment crimes dealing with technology issues were also adopted. And then finally, the House provision on injured railroad workers was included with a gross misdemeanor penalty. Moving on to Article 18, this deals with DWIs. All the DWI provisions were accepted with one change relating to a floor amendment on the B-card restriction provision. This section had lifted the no alcohol restriction after 10 years if the person had no impaired driving offenses during this time. That was amended so that only the no alcohol restriction listed on the person's driver's license would be removed, but the actual restriction would still be in place. It also requests that the DWI task force look into this issue some more. Finally, the DWI article addresses the recent Minnesota Supreme Court case that just came down that held the implied consent law unconstitutional. It reinstates the law prior to 2003.
Mr. Diebold.
Mr. Chair and members, the last article to cover is the methamphetamine article. That will be a standalone provision that will be entitled methamphetamine provisions. The compromise agreement is that there will be no ban in 2006. The quantity restrictions that are in both the House and Senate will carry forward beginning on their effective date and until changed by the legislature. There will be ID and age restriction requirements. The provision regarding drug wholesaler exemption is in the compromise, as well as local preemption of ordinances that restrict the sale. The other provisions that are contained in the compromise agreement, the Board of Pharmacy is charged with the responsibility of monitoring whether gel capsules in liquid form precursors can be used as in the manufacture of methamphetamine, so that we can update the law and make sure that they're restricted if they're found that they're able to be used in the manufacture of meth. Also, we've adopted the Senate veterinarian provisions, and some of the issues, property-related provisions, that section of law, much of it is identical, but there are some differences. The permissive restitution language in the Senate bill was adopted, as well as the Senate statute of limitations of 6 years. The revolving fund is, the language will be carried in the compromise, but it's my understanding the funding will move forward in the in a different bill. As mentioned earlier, the conditional release language was removed from this article. It'll be housed in the corrections article. And then there's going to be a report on from the Commissioner of Public Safety, which is will be amended, but it'll be the compromise agreement is for the Commissioner to look at and the feasibility of a centralized database to collect the or store the information on the logs that the stores are mandated, the pharmacies are mandated to mention. I glossed over the fact that the pharmacy restrictions are still applied, and that's would be expected, and that was in both bills.
Anything further from either council?
Mr. Chairman, a quick question.
Senator Scogin.
The effective date of the Sudafed behind-the-counter measures?
Mr. Bebo.
We were talking amongst ourselves. We couldn't remember. Well, we didn't know how it was done.
Is it 30 days after?
Mr. Chairman, members, I'll stand corrected by Senator Rosen, but I believe it's 30 days after the date of enactment.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think it's something that we want to make clear. I think that's policy that all of us support. In case it's not, perhaps we would want a motion saying that.
Yeah, 30 days after, Senator Scogin, after enactment.
Right.
If that'll be the shape, that'll be direction to council, okay, that this bill be in that form, unless there's any objection or further discussion, that will be directed.
For that matter, by the time this bill is engrossed and rolled and named the governor, perhaps we ought to say July 1st, which may be 29 days. just knowing how things work around here, but July 1st is a date that everybody could would be able to identify with, and so I guess I'd suggest that instead.
Well, then, on that suggestion by Senator Scogin, that be the date that we select. Let's have some discussion if there is any. Without objection, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My only concern is we're just not sure when this is going to get done. I want to make sure that the retailers especially have at least 30 days to put it all together, and pharmacists as well.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Scogin.
If the bill is passed on Monday and the governor gets it, say, the 25th, but it really could be the 30th before he gets the bill, the way bills get enrolled and they move through the process. If there's big bills ahead of it, they don't necessarily go to the governor that night on our logjam night. Perhaps July 1st is a date that retailers could remember versus June 29th or 30th or July, could be July 2nd. It's a date certain is what I'm saying, and it's something I think that the public would understand, everybody would understand it.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We had had, Representative Johnson and I have had this discussion, and I checked into what Iowa enacted, and I believe it was 30 days after the bill was signed, and Wisconsin was, was it July 1st or July 31st? I would certainly be happy with Senator Scoglin's suggestion, if that would be okay with Representative Johnson.
Okay. Again, the suggestion from the Senator is July 1, 2005. If there's no objection, then we're just going to let staff be so directed by the committee. All right. Are we done with our presentation? Then at this time, I'm going to ask our page to take the spreadsheet and first hand them out to members of the committee. And when that's completed,
thank you.
And only when that's completed, then you may lay it on the table for the public. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is my first conference committee.
Join the crowd.
This is a very fun one.
My second one. Senator Rosen.
How does this work as far as, can you kind of just give me an outline of how we do this? Make sure if there was any changes, are we going to have another opportunity to go through it again after we suggested?
I'm sorry, I interrupted. I apologize. Okay. Senator Rosen, I think if Senator Ranum agrees and if there's no objection, we'll try to do the following, and that is to go through the spreadsheets just as we have done. Can you hear me over there? I can wait.
Yes, sir. Okay.
We're going to keep doing. We're going to go through the spreadsheets like we have the policy. If there's questions, we'll entertain them. If there are no questions, then this chair is going to entertain a motion to approve and adopt the report we've heard, both policy and the spreadsheet, as the conference report. Then we'll have staff finalize that into the final product for the conferees to sign. I'm hoping that that will be done over the weekend. And we're considering if there is an actual product to be signed on Sunday, that my CA has opted to drive it around to the members if they choose to have it on Sunday and if it's ready. He may not be driving to Hermantown, however, but we could see if we can put him to the test. The point is, we're going to hear out the spreadsheet, and then we're going to entertain a motion to adopt as a conference report. It'll be prepared over the weekend, and we'll sign it as late as Monday morning.
Thank you.
Senator Rosen, I'm also told that once the signed copy is signed by the adequate number, not, it's not all, but the adequate number of signatures of us, then it once delivered to the clerk, there's a 4-hour downtime to get a copy. So then at that point, it's ready for the House to act on. All right, has everyone at the committee table received their spreadsheet? Then at this time, I'm going to ask Mr. Carger and or both Mr. Turner to just take it away.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We'll be going by the spreadsheet that was just handed out and going through some of the differences, mainly the differences. First area is the Supreme Court, and there was a compromise reached on the judge's salary increase, where the Senate had a 3% reduction each year and no salary increase. The compromise is now a 1.5% reduction. However, there will be language in the bill saying that the judges are allowed 2.5% increases. And you can see that that's for the Supreme Court. There's a difference there of where the reduction will be $69,000. The next item is civil legal services on line 14.
basically the House took the Senate position, and that is funded at $5 million per year. Most of that, or that is the increase, is coming from the recording fee surcharge that you'll hear about later on. Next item is the Court of Appeals. That's the same throughout Governor and House, Senate. However, there will be language in there about the judge's salary once again. Same thing with the district courts. Basically, there was a compromise there. The judge's salary increase, the Senate had that at about $3.775 million reduction. The compromise was $1.5 million. That is now at $1.88 million for the biennium. Basically, the bed impact and the caseloads are very similar. Page 2, the tax court, no change. That has been the same throughout. Uniform Laws Commission is our next agency on page 2, line 53. Here, it's a House position. Senate took the House position, and that's funding of $12,000 increase the first year and $6,000 the second year. Board of Judicial Standards, this is the House position with the increase of $25,000 each year, one-time appropriation for some of their hearings. Next, we have the Public Defense Board. There's a compromise very similar in the funding. The total funding for the total public defense funding is $122.5 million for the biennium. Public safety, we'll get into that. That's first a program in public safety that this committee is responsible for is emergency management. There is no change. That has been the same throughout the negotiations, same with the governor. Next, we go to the BCA on page 3. The first item of difference there is a compromise is the felony DNA, and I think Mr. Diebel went through that. The funding changes a little bit. It is now at $1.526 million for the biennium. The next change is in the meth awareness in enforcement. The only change there is that the we took the Senate position. They do not fund the awareness, the 40,000 awareness campaign. The DWI changes, that now is funded. That was a House position, and the Senate agrees to that. And then the House agrees to the agency-wide administrative cut. There was somewhat of a compromise there. That is now at $495,000. We should point out, members, that this was put under the BCA, but the rider language will say it will be for all general fund accounts, except for the Office of Justice policy within the public safety accounts. Fire Marshal is the next program in public safety. Here was a compromise again. This is $400,000 in additional funding each year for a total of $800,000. The next program is alcohol and gambling enforcement. There's no change. Next we go to page 4. This is the Office of Justice Programs. This is where a lot of the programs are in public safety. The first change item is on line 123, the crime victim assistance funding increase. The House took the Senate position, and that is now at $2.54 million for the biennium. Another compromise was on line 124, the battered woman shelters and safe houses. The House did not have a position on that. The Senate had $1 million a year. The compromise is now $400,000 a year, for a total of $800,000 for the biennium. Criminal Gang Strike Force, Narcotics Task Force, the funding stays the same. However, the Senate took the House position on combining the two. So the Gang Strike Force and Narcotics Task Force will be combined. Next item is the transfer of the Youth Intervention Program. Remember, the Senate had that in another committee. They now agree, and this will be in the under the Office of Justice programs, and that will be at base funding at $1.452 million each year. Line 128, the human trafficking study is still in there at $50,000 a year. That is a House position. The next one on line 129 is the homeless pilot project. This is the Senate position, and that is being funded at $400,000 the first year. Next we have, there's no line item. This was moved over late last night. This is the meth treatment grants. This was a House position, but the Senate also had similar provisions. It was under the Department of Corrections, but after talking to the different agencies and the author, it was agreed that this would be a better fit in public safety. So that is now funded, meth treatment grants to counties at $750,000 each year. The other item under that is the Financial Crimes Task Force. This is a compromise here, too. The funding is now at $750,000 a year, and it will be general fund funding. Next, the item or the program is 911 emergency services, and I think as Mr. Diebold suggested or said there that the House put the Senate language on that and their provisions. The increase is now 25 cents each year. Public safety, the other programs in public safety, there was an agreement on the public safety officers' health insurance coverage that just recently passed the Senate floor and was put in there in our bill. And it does have the prorated language, if I remember right, and that is funded at $1.347 million. The next thing, the Senate took the House position on the gas theft suspension of license, and that's at $32,000 for the biennium. Next agency on the page 4 on the bottom of line, beginning of line 155, is the Post Board. Basically, there was a compromise here. The Senate funding, however, the funding will now be special revenue funding instead of the general funding that the Senate had. Page 5, the Private Detective Board. There was a compromise there. The language stays in. However, there is no funding for that one provision in the bill for the Private Detective Board. Human rights, beginning on 173, there is no difference. That has been all along. Next, we go into the Department of Corrections, and here we have compromise items. It's the same, except for the first item where there is a difference, is the line 185. This is the health services increase. The Senate and the House had different increases. Now the compromise is $6.171 million for the biennium as an increase. The bed impact, that's right now being funded at about $2.7 million for the biennium. The next is the removal of gate money. There was a difference there, and the Senate took the House position on that. That will show a savings of $84,000 each year. The next item is the House took the Senate position on the chemical dependency treatment and expansion in prison. However, there was somewhat of a compromise there. The Senate had $1.5 million for each year for this biennium, and the compromise was $1 million for each year. Next, we have the institutions cut. I believe this was Senator Neville's provision, and the House took that position, and that shows a savings of about $925,000 each year. Members, going on to page 6, we basically have, or first of all, it's community services there. That's another program in the Department of Corrections. We broke out now the sex offender enforcement and the sex offender treatment. The House had one number. The Senate broke it out. It will be broken out now, and in writer language it will be broken out. The only difference there is the policy board, where the House did not, or the Senate did not fund that, and it was not funded. Next difference, or the funding, is the sex offender specialized caseloads. Here we broke this down now into two lines. There was a compromise there. The CPO counties will be getting $500,000 each year, and the DOC counties and the CCA, community corrections counties, will be receiving or being appropriated $1.5 million each year. Chemical dependency aftercare grant program, that was not funded. And then we have the intensive supervision aftercare For the controlled substance, I believe this was along with Senator Neville's bill for the costs, and that is funded now a small compromise at $600,000 each year. Next, we go to operation support. The compromise on the agency-wide reduction and the compromise now is $700,000 for the biennium, and this cut can be made anywhere in corrections in any of their three programs. The other item, which is a new one, is the conditional release evaluation, and here we're giving corrections $50,000 to do a review on the early release. Once again, Senator Neville's provisions to see how that is working. Next agency at the bottom of the page is sentencing guidelines. There was a compromise there, and they are funded for an increase of $27,000 each year. And then on page 7, the Board of Veterinarian Medicine, the House took the Senate position there at the $7,000 level, and that is for a study. Next, we have the revenue adjustments. I won't go over these. These have been covered before. They were part of the global agreement. Just to highlight a couple, the surcharge is now at $12, and the real estate recording fee is at $6.70 instead of the $4 that the House had. Once again, the others have been adopted in the global agreement. And revenue adjustments, other funds, there we have the gas theft suspension driver's license. This brings in funding. We took it. There's small appropriation there, but it will bring in some funding to the trunk highway. And then the other item is the increase in 911 fees, and this is the Senate position. Other statutory fee increases, there's the only two there. The one is the two reinstatement fees and that money being directed at the post board. That has not changed. That's for training for the post. And then the last item is the Ramsey County $1 surcharge that the Senate took. And, Mr. Chair, that's the summary of the budgeting.
Any questions? Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Parker, the 911 fee, 25 cents.
Right.
That's 25 cents a month per line.
Yeah. Mr. Carter.
Statewide.
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, you are correct.
Representative Murphy.
And then that by Rochester and St. Cloud.
Yes, as Mr. Diebel said, they can now go into their phase three, which is in the Rochester and part of the St. Cloud.
Is this a payoff that's been from the other?
Let me ask Senator Ranum on that point.
Mr. Chair, Senator Murphy, yes. It does that, and it also gives an increase to the PSAPs. So it's not just for the debt service. And for the MRCC, which is the, it's late. It's the what? Medical Resource Communication Centers. It's the coordination so to make sure that if we have a crisis, we
so
can continue to do the
doctor takes it to the right. Medical center, right? Oh, yes.
No.
I remember that. Thank you. I have enough information.
Thank
Don't get me started.
Senator Foley, you had your hand.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'm looking at page 1, line 35. Is that bed impact that you're seeking there?
Mr. Carter.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Foley, no, that is the bill impact. So in other words, the impact on the bill, you know, with the cost that we derive from the fiscal notes that the Supreme Court and the trial court submitted.
All right. Mr. Chairman, I'd also like to know, in the area of specialty courts in the drug and mental health, what is that? I know there's some in existence, and is this going to fund something that's already there, or is this going to pick up new...
Mr. Carter, or...
Yeah.
Senator Moran.
Mr. Chair, Senator Foley, this was a Senate position, and what this does is, as you know, that we have some specialty courts, including drug, mental health court, but what we wanted to do is make sure that other judicial districts have an incentive to either create them or expand them. And so that's what that money will be used for.
Thank you. Further questions up to this point? Discussion. Senator Foley.
Mr. Chairman and Madam Chair, I certainly appreciate the fine work that you've done on this in a very difficult situation, and I'm pleased to endorse the product here.
Very good. Senator Foley, thank you. I think what we'll do at this time, if there's no questions from the the conference committee, the chair is going to entertain a motion to approve the report as presented by counsel, both of the chair for 5 minutes. We're going to take a brief recess. I'd like to leave our recess behind us, go back into session, and I believe we were on a motion before we took a brief recess. So before anyone feels the need to pass yet one more note to the chair, can we go back to the motion, see what we can do on that? Representative Hillsborough.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move approval of the bill if that's the proper motion. The committee report.
I think without objection, staff, I trust, unless you have any questions of the maker of the motion, they understand it. Senator Ranum.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hillstrom, I didn't hear your motion, and I just wanted to make sure that it included giving our very competent staff the discretion they need to make sure that our intent is effected.
Yes, that was the motion, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
All right.
Can we wait for
we will.
Senator Skoglund and Senator Rosen? I believe they would like to both vote.
We do have a motion on the floor. We are not yet going to proceed to a vote. We now can discuss the motion.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Murphy.
Thank you. Madam Chair, thank you. Our very able staff from the Senate and the House, thank you. Senators, thank you. Representatives, thank you. And thank everyone who has contributed so much for the whole year. All of you who have information to give us at any place and any time that we may come before you or up to you or while we're walking away from you. We appreciate your input. But most of all, Mr. Chair and Madam Chair, thank you for the work that you have done through the year, and thank you for the work that you have done
this week, day and night. And thanks for letting us have this opportunity to provide for public safety across the state of Minnesota. Thank you for providing us with the opportunity for us to tell you what we want in the bill and have you listen. And on behalf of the citizens of Minnesota that I represent, I think they will smile when they hear the results of this bill. Thank you.
Representative Murphy, thank you. Senator Neville.
Mr. Chair, I'll echo that, but in addition, I want to say, given our past history over the 10 years, this was a remarkable exercise of bipartisanship. We sometimes have a tendency in dealing with these high-profile sexual offender cases to get into a bidding war between the House and the Senate, and I want to compliment you on putting something together that's reasonable and focused and effective and tough, but it's a proper response and a proper reaction to what the public expected us to do this year. I thank you for that.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would just like to say, being the new kid on the block, my first conference committee, I would just assume all conference committees go like this. It's been wonderful. Apparently not. But this is how the system should work. We put out all this, and put out, all of us in this room put out a very good bill. And I am wondering what we're going to work on next year, because this is a tremendous bill for the state of Minnesota, something to be very proud of.
Thank you. Well, I guess for my observation, Senator Ranum, just a couple of thoughts, and that is, you know, we're abundantly, all of us here at the table have worked hard in our respective bodies and our respective offices, and in part because everyone in this audience has a stake in what we're doing, but they also have a role in to play in the very bill that we've crafted, and that's aimed at the protection of the citizens of the state of Minnesota. And so while we're not just necessarily concerned about their needs, we're concerned to help them see to the needs of the people. And with regard to this committee, Senator Rosen, both Senator Ranum and I had to endure a little bit of theater up front in the first couple of days, but you know, my observation is that melted away somewhat fast, and the way I saw this bill coming together was taking those aspects of the bills that you folks passed in the Senate and that we did in the House and taking the best parts of each one and rolling it into one bill. Senator Ranum, any closing thoughts?
Well, Mr. Chair, I've always believed that public safety should not be a partisan issue. And I've always believed that you don't have to be a prosecutor or a public defender or a police officer or a judge or whoever the others are to we don't always have to see things in the same way, but we have to, as Representative Murphy says, to listen to each other, because our communities are as safe as we look at all the parts of the public safety community that need to be addressed. And Mr. Chair, what I was so pleased about is that we not only focused on the worst of the worst, but we recognize that we have to commit ourselves to the supervision of offenders in our community, and we did that. And we also had to look at the linkage with alcohol and drugs, and we did that. And we did not forget about the victims. But most importantly, we listened to each other, and I think, Mr. Chair, that we're going to be enthusiastic about recommending this to the Senate. And I hope that you are going, your conferees will have the same level of satisfaction as we feel, because I think it's truly bipartisan. I think it's truly a product of the House and the Senate.
Senator Foley.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Chairman, I guess what I'd like to say is that you bribed us of course, and the wonderful desserts that we've had here. My only concern is that this all ends now, and we won't have anybody to deliver that.
Senator Foley, thank you. I think the record should also reflect, and Senator Rosen, on one of your points, I think the record will reflect simply this as a small fact, that we did not have to take any individual votes on any individual line item in this bill, whether out of necessity or out of need to embarrass each other. We didn't find that necessary, and I think we've come together on this. Now we're back on the motion. Does anyone have any questions on the motion? Any further discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. And with that motion, with that vote, the motion is approved, and staff is instructed to prepare a committee report consistent with this recommendation. Any further business before this committee? If not, meeting is adjourned.